Joel Best is professor of sociology and criminal justice at the University of Delaware. He has published more than 20 books on social problems and deviance, most notably Damned Lies and Statistics. His latest book, which he co-authors, is Kids Gone Wild: From Rainbow Parties to Sexting, Understanding the Hype Over Teen Sex. In Kids Gone Wild, he uses stories about the fears of the growing sexualization of childhood to explore what we know about contemporary legends and how both traditional media and the internet perpetuate these rumors while at times debating their authenticity. It's a pleasure to welcome Joel Best back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Joe.
So in some ways, basically, when I look at this book, from talking about the issues regarding sexting and teen sex and all of the intimate detail that we've heard about, in some way, what you're saying in this book is it's another damned lie and statistic.
Yeah, there aren't many statistics, but I think that it's certainly it's a book about exaggerated fears, yeah.
So how did you come to this particular subject of looking at teen sex and saying, we're getting this wrong?
Well, actually, I read an email post in a contemporary legend site about sex bracelets. And I went into my class and I said, do you know what's happening in England? And the students all yawned and said, oh, yeah, we did that in junior high school. And I thought, oh, I missed this completely. So I started looking and I realized that there'd been a great furor about sex bracelets in 2003, and at some point somebody said, "Well, it's just like rainbow parties," and I'd missed that too, pretty much. So I found myself digging into the history of these things, and I got my a former student of mine, Katie Bogle, to write the book with me.
It was one thing that I had noted at the time, and I remember that there was this Oprah Winfrey episode that dates back to 2003, in which she was talking about, is your child leading a double life, and was using these terms like rainbow parties and the bracelets and sexting and so forth, and I remember thinking, all right, I've heard none of this, and then I remember listening to, of all things, the Howard Stern program the next day, where they were playing portions of this, and him saying, "I've never heard of any of this stuff. What are they talking about?" And then in reading your book, you really point to that interview as sort of the beginning of much of this, of our discussion, and leading to novels and thoughts and blogs and everything else about a subject that may be very rare.
Yeah, or non-existent.
Yeah,
I think you know, folklorists like to think that legends are passed along primarily by word of mouth. But one of the things that's really clear in this book is that these stories get a tremendous boost from media coverage. So that you can find, we found a couple of mentions, just allusions to rainbow parties earlier in 2003. But once Oprah has this journalist on who says, oh yeah, this is going on everywhere, suddenly the internet just came alive. And, you know, there are all of these people posting stuff on the internet, and other reporters follow it up. There's an editor at a publishing firm who thinks, wow, this would be a great subject for a young adult novel. And that book, it takes a year or so to write, but it eventually comes out and so on. So I think that the media has, I don't want to say that it's entirely to blame, but it certainly contributes to what's happening.
And our fears as well, right? Because we all have this innate fear that while we are home watching CSI, our kids are out there doing the unimaginable.
Sure. People worry about their children, and they worry about adolescence in particular. And there's good reason to worry about them, because we've all been adolescents, and you know that you suddenly are under much less supervision, and the world seems like filled with much more interesting possibilities than it did seem to have when you're eight. And you can get into a lot of trouble. Juvenile delinquency peaks in adolescence. There's a lot of experimenting with sex and drugs and alcohol, and there are all kinds of things. And most of the time, this doesn't wreck people's lives, but certainly the desire to supervise and control adolescence, and particularly adolescent sexuality, has been around for a long time. And I think that what's happening is that we are inventing new, more preposterous stories because we live in a world where sexuality seems to have been escalated in some sense.
I do just want to go back to rainbow parties for a moment, because I'm sure a lot of people are listening to the radio not knowing what that is, which is probably a good thing. But in this case, it is the idea of young girls teaming up using a variety of colors of lipstick to perform oral sex on almost an assembly line of young, willing teenage boys.
Yeah, with the idea that you leave with a kind of rainbow smear of lipstick traces, yeah.
So this is something that you say, okay, that is obviously something, or in most cases, is something that we don't want our children engaging in. And yet, when you look, you and your colleague look for facts to support that, what did you find?
Well, you can't find anybody that's done it. it's the classic contemporary legend. A contemporary legend is basically a story that's too good to be true. And, you know, everybody knows that it's true, and it's always somebody else that's done it. You know, I haven't done this, but my friend's friend's done it, or my friend's friend's plumber's done it, or whatever. And you can never track down the truth of these stories. The first thing is you hear that story and you think, okay, we're talking about junior high school kids. I don't think so. You know, junior high school kids would have to be incredibly more sophisticated and more poised and so on than I certainly was when I was that age. And I think that probably the awkwardness of junior high school years really hasn't changed that much. So just on the surface, you hear that story and you think, come on. Is that really likely? And in fact, you know, there's a great debate in the internet. You can find all kinds of people talking about this, some of them saying it's ridiculous, some of them saying, of course it's happening. But, you know, you don't have a whole lot of people coming forward saying, oh, yeah, I've done this. I've been there. It's always, well, this is something that happens at the neighboring school. This happens, you know, if you live in the South, this happens in the Northeast. If you live in the Northeast, it happens in California. You know, it's always happening to somebody else. It hasn't actually touched you.
And the concern, of course, is that it perpetuates an idea that this is out there and in some cases gives kids the idea to do it.
Well, I suppose that's certainly possible that you could be inspired by hearing about it. Again, you know, it doesn't seem to me like this is a terribly likely thing to happen under any circumstances. The novel Rainbow Party, which is a kind of an interesting book, describes a group of junior high school kids who are trying to organize one of these things, and it goes through each of the characters as having different thoughts about it. And ultimately, most of them don't even show up. The scene just seems too frightening and intimidating. So once you start thinking about it realistically, you realize this is next to impossible.
What about the idea of sexting and taking pictures of oneself, Snapchat and so forth, mm-hmm. things that are talked about? And in this case, I have to say, having been like you and teaching students at a college, I find very possible to believe.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's unquestionably some sexting going on. Now, what happens, though, when this is covered is that the media picks this up, and there was a completely unscientific survey that purported to show that 20% of teenagers were doing this. Well, you know, when you look at the actual patterns, the numbers from more reliable surveys that have since been done, you find that it's much less common than 20%, and it's also something that becomes more common as you get older. This isn't something that young people are doing by and large. It's something that older teenagers are doing. Maybe people who are already 18, you know, and legally adults. I mean, we should we should not interfere with that. Most of the time, sexting is something that you have a special friend. You know, you're in a committed relationship, and you send some sort of provocative photo to that person. Now, there have been terrible things that happened. I mean, you know, there have been a couple of suicides where, a picture gets loose. And, of course, once it's out there in electronic form, it can go lots of different places. You have a bad breakup, and what you thought was a personal photograph suddenly gets circulated. Maybe as a prank, someone takes a photograph and gets circulated. There can be harm associated with this, but there isn't very much of it. There are a handful of cases that people point to. But what happened was that people just went nuts, and they said, well, this has to be against the law. Well, what law is it against? Well, the most convenient law is child pornography. And those are draconian laws. Sending a picture to your boyfriend should not lead to you having a mandatory prison term and being registered as a sex offender. So the response was, it's not that this doesn't happen or that you wouldn't want to discourage people from doing it. I'm certainly not going to encourage teenagers to sext, but the response was way out of proportion to what was happening.
Joel Best is our guest. He is the co-author of the new book, Kids Gone Wild, From Rainbow Parties to Sexting, Understanding the Hype Over Teen Sex. As you say, you use the word hype, but often in the media, the word epidemic is used to describe these activities. And
it sounds much more scientific.
Well, so how do we come, and you talk about this in the book, of how the media came to that term epidemic?
Well, I think this is what happens when you you start treating it as a kind of scientific phenomenon. And epidemic is a word that has medical connotations. The connotations of something that's spreading very fast, something that's spreading out of control, and so on and so forth. And so it's very frightening when we hear that there's an Ebola epidemic in certain locations in Africa. This is very scary news. People start wondering if it's about to arrive in the United States and so on. And I think that it's not that these things never happen. It's impossible for us to prove a negative. We can't say for sure that no one has ever participated in a rainbow party. But how common is this? Well, not very common. How big a problem is it? Probably not that big a problem. Shouldn't we keep some sort of sense of proportion about these things?
It is fascinating because obviously you look at these issues of sexting and rainbow parties and sex bracelets. And then there's the issue that you talk about toward the end of the book of becoming too sexual too soon, and believing that and being concerned about the sexualization of kids and of that issue. It seems as though we do see a lot of examples of that, and that there is cause for alarm in some ways, because of what is being done to the kids of living up to that image. I guess what I got out of your writing on this is that A, it's nothing new. We've been dealing with this for a long, long time. In some cases, it's the advent of the new technology. But also, you're not, according to the statistics and to the information that you include in the book, you're not seeing a direct cause and effect.
No, absolutely not. In fact, to the degree that we have good data, the data make it clear that teens' sexuality has actually declined. People are having less sex later than, say, in the early 1990s. So we have this sense, if you ask people, is this problem getting bigger? Why, they're going to say, yes, of course it's getting bigger. And In fact, that's very often the case. I'm used to reading term papers, and people will talk about the rising crime rate or the rising rate of teen pregnancy or whatever, and it doesn't matter. They just throw that in. It's sort of automatically assumed that crime is increasing, that teen pregnancy is increasing, that our social problems are increasing. In fact, a lot of these things are going down. Teen pregnancy is way down. Crime has been down for about 20 years. Young people, adolescents today, are less sexually active than they were 20 years ago. So even with the cell phones, even with the internet, even with all of these things that are supposedly sexualizing our children and changing everything, it's really hard to find the evidence that it's having this effect.
Which doesn't make it right.
No, If I was consulting with an adolescent, I would, say, you know, you want to be very careful. You want to make good decisions. There are risks to behavior. You want to think through what you're doing. All that kind of good stuff. But it's just not the case that, kids today are out of control. You have to remember, I'm old, and, there was a great deal of concern in the 1950s about the menace of going steady. And it's the idea that going steady was really the beginning of the end, because going steady would encourage, intimacy. It would encourage couples getting closer, and presumably that would lead to sex. You can just go back through the generations. Every new dance style, there's nothing, twerking is certainly different than other dances, but absolutely every dance craze that's come along, starting with close dancing in the 19th century, has been seen as sexually threatening. And I think that having a sense of proportion and stepping back and asking yourself, really, is this happening to the people that you know? And the answer is no. It doesn't, my kids are good kids, but the other kids can't be trusted. The other kids have parents who are saying exactly the same thing.
I know a parent who is very, very concerned about their adolescent child, and not specifically about that child, but just about a lot of these issues that we're talking about, and feels that it is important to check in and see what they're texting, see what they're emailing, seeing what they're up to. My thought on that is that's really no different than mom looking at your diary when 20 years ago, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. So, which brings up the issue of what privacy a child should be allowed, number one, and number two, how we look at this overall and say, okay, how do we balance the information that we are given with a sensible approach of dealing with our kids becoming sexually active?
No, absolutely. And I think what you want is you want your kids to grow up to make good decisions. And, having had a couple of sons who, when they were adolescents, did not always seem to me that they were making, phenomenally great decisions. I know this is hard, but it's important to try and encourage people to become the kinds of people you want them to be. And I don't think that cracking down is necessarily the way to produce people who independently are making good decisions. It's also the case that, my grasp of technology is considerably weaker than my, considerably weaker than my adolescent son's grasp of technology. And, to the degree which I could be confident that I was supervising what they were doing was probably exaggerated.
So you hope what is taken from the book, that parents and a society as a whole will look at this and say, okay, there are teens who are sexually active, but it has not reached an epidemic stage as would be portrayed in the media.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think more important than that, obviously, the fear of rainbow parties and sex bracelets has disappeared, and our excitement over sex bracelets has wound down. But I would hope that what people would get out of this is a set of tools for thinking critically about the next set of claims about kids whose sexuality is out of control. I think that it's very unlikely, if you can keep things in some sort of context, it's very unlikely that things are nearly as bad as the alarmists would portray them as being.
The name of the book, Kids Gone Wild, From Rainbow Parties to Sexting, Understanding the Hype Over Teen Sex. It is co-authored by Joel Best, published by NYU Press. Joel, thank you very much for joining us once again. It's very nice having you on the program.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Kids Gone Wild. It is published by NYU Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.